cabeza.
This is Dr. Allie Evans welcoming you to Light on Health, a show where we shine the light on a full spectrum of topics that affect the health of you and that of our entire community. My guest today is Kendra Bratherton, and we're going to be talking about many different hats that she wears in the community, but the newest and most exciting that she's been working on is something called tensegrity medicine. Kendra is an occupational therapist and also is... Which part are you in the... You're the head injury support group of the Pacific Northwest. Do you head that up?
Yes.
Okay.
I started that back in 2012 and have meetings every month and just kind of took a hiatus the last year since I was in so much schooling.
Yes.
That it was just too much for me. So we just started back up this month and now the Times will be in the newspaper from now on.
Great. So yeah. And you also practice Bowen.
Yes, I have been in school for Bowen work, and I take my 3-day practicum in 2 weeks. So
yay.
I will be finally officially certified. I have been practicing on volunteer clients for the last 4 or 5 months. And so just having to have like 10 case studies and all these hours and contact hours, and it's been wonderful to be able to practice that and kind of hone those skills in.
So how did you, it sounds like your journey was just always to be a healer in some form. How did you, share with us a little bit of that path and how you started and how you ended up in it and how you've kind of taken these turns along the way in the river?
It's, I was originally going to school for psychology and I was in a series of injuries in my sophomore year in college, mostly head trauma. And the last one was when the Rodney King riots started. And it was the Rodney King riots were all over the United States. And I was a victim of some of the rioting that happened in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm from Michigan. And it left me paralyzed and with a head trauma, and like I had a stroke for about a year afterwards. And so I had to take some time off of university to get rehab. And I fell in love with occupational therapy. I needed to be in speech and physical therapy and occupational therapy just to regain my physical body and my vocabulary and all that back. And went back to school in a wheelchair and then... I decided I wanted to be in occupational therapy, and I had a little bit of a challenge because of my head traumas, and was unable to get into the 4-year program at Western Michigan University, but blessing in disguise, there was a CODA program, Certified OT Assistant Program, that had just opened, and so there was, you know, a few slots that were still open, and I was able to slide right in. And in fact, I was so happy that I was a CODA all these years because I got to work with person from A to Z, and I didn't have to do a lot of paperwork. I was actually the one facilitating the therapeutic activities and healing. And so that's kind of my segue into the healing of therapy. And my specialty was stroke rehab, spinal cord injuries, head trauma. Worked at Cleveland Clinic for a good 2-3 years. So that was my kind of opening into the world, and it was an amazing world. So that's kind of where I started. And when we moved here, I met Blair Cocking, who is a certified hand therapist and OT at CMH. She was my neighbor. And so I talked to her about what I used to do and didn't know if I was ever going to be able to do it again because of a 2005 head injury. And she said, I'm going to put the fire under you and you're going to come work for me. And so she really was an integral part of me getting back into taking those baby steps back into the field. And
isn't it interesting? I always talk to patients about this when you're sharing a life story, these things that we don't know why we're in a place in the moment, like you're at the Rodney King protests and it's these things happen and we have no idea, but lots of times these things along the path are exactly what we need for us to live out our life's purpose, but we couldn't see it. And there's no way we'd see that in the moment.
No.
Yeah.
No. And that's, you know, that's one thing that I talk about when I do speaking engagements is how everything has a reason.
Yeah.
Everything. And if you can look at a situation, whether it be negative or positive, and just know that you're going to grow from that and try to find out what you're supposed to take with you along the journey. And maybe it takes you on a completely different journey than you anticipated, which for me, I did get a psychology degree as well, but it was the most profound thing for me. They're blessings, the things mm-hmm. that happen.
And what you're saying, this is kind of a perfect segue into talking about this field of tensegrity medicine, but this idea of, like, we as humans, our best way to navigate life is as this tree that's rooted but very flexible, right? This idea of, like, we go with the flow, we change, we don't try to resist.
Absolutely.
As forces come against us.
Be the willow tree.
Yes. And it seems like we'll tell everyone sort of what tensegrity medicine is, but it seems like this idea of restoring to the body this ability to be dynamically flexible and to change and move and be fluid.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a profound new thing. I am very honored to be part of Kelly Clancy, her team. She's an occupational therapist out of Seattle. She's in England right now for a year doing some tensegrity training out there. But I took a ligament stimulation class from her over a year ago, and I knew that she had something more than just, because I was in hand therapy with Blair. I was one of her assistants in the hand therapy clinic. And I said, you know more. What's going on here? And she goes, come with me. She goes, come join this tensegrity mentorship program. And I said, all right. I had no idea what I was stepping into. And it's been amazing. It's the approach to the body is tensegrity medicine approaches. It's looking at the body in a multidimensional capacity, mind, body, spirit. All of those affect the, you know, our musculature, our ligaments, our fascial system, which is our connective tissue. And connective tissue is just becoming understood in the last 10 years. It's just amazing system. It's its own organ, and it can actually operate outside of the brain, as we've found out in some live dissection.
That's incredible.
The fascial system responds to input that we stimulate to the outside on the skin, and the whole body, you can just see the whole body responding.
And I've heard, I know lots of people hear the word fascia because it's kind of a, you know, especially in massage therapy and body work. But it's actually this, I've heard a good description, and we'll see if you agree with this, but that it's, you know, we have the bones and the muscles of our body, but we obviously need something to hold all those things together and to the organs, and that the fascia and the connective tissue is sort of like this extremely loosely woven sweater that's pulled around all of it, and that it's all unified, but it's holding in your organs, your muscles, the muscles to the bones, the ligaments to the bone.
Absolutely.
And that it's sort of, like you said, this own organ system with its own innervation and blood supply. And
if you think about it, tensegrity really means compression, equal forces of compression and distraction.
And distraction for people meaning pulling apart. So that equal force of putting together and pulling apart.
So if you stood on one leg and you have to, you notice what your body's doing and it's trying to balance, that's your forces of compression, distraction working constantly. So the fascial system works constantly. Anytime we move, anytime, you know, our digestion happens, it's a constant work in motion. So if there's been injury or trauma to the system, it can be emotional trauma, it can be physical trauma, it can be surgeries, anesthesia, then sometimes parts of that fascial system can get stuck and kind of bogged down. And so after time, if that's not addressed, then it's going to start pulling on muscles. It's going to start pulling your bones out of alignment. And that's when you start getting, you know, the compression fractures and the plantar fasciitis and the arthritis, the shoulder, problems and neck and disc issues. So,
and I think it's amazing to me how smart and wise our body is. Like when we have, like you said, a trauma, but for some people it can be, you know, we think of these traumas as these major events. It can also be a breakup that you just don't quite digest emotionally, or it can be having to move when you feel really rooted in a place. It can be these things, or a loss of a job or a divorce. Mm-hmm. The body is so smart in that it tries to store the things we can't get rid of in the most innocuous place, in the safest place. Absolutely. And for the body, that's so often joints and fascia,
yes,
and muscles, because it's not like the heart or the lungs, which would threaten your life. It's these places where it's like, oh, this is kind of convenient. We'll just put it here. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I see with patients these unresolved emotional emotions, basically, that are stored in the body in these places that it's smart yet so inconvenient to the person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it, tensegrity medicine touches on that. So basically we look at the postural body, out of gravity and in gravity. And there's a myofascial length testing. So actually testing not your muscles, not raise your arm. Okay, if you can raise your arm, that's great. But where's the compensation coming mm-hmm. from? And so I'll put you into a position where I can test your actual fascial length. And you may not be able to get your arm up to, you know, chest height. Mm-hmm. And that tells me that you have a restriction in that line of your body, of that fascial line of your body. And then we kind of dive deeper into emotional things. If somebody has pain in a certain area, then we dialogue about what that pain is, what it means to them in their life, what their lifestyle patterns are around that pain. And then we do some movement with it too. So it's really, it is a comprehensive approach to the body. We're looking at everything.
And does it look like sort of the way you might have a physical medicine session? Like someone would come in, they'd have an intake, you're assessing and testing and sort of diagnosing what's happening. And then the treatment, does it look like hands-on based work? What does a treatment kind of look like?
Yeah, so usually when somebody comes in, and again, I've just had volunteers, my mm-hmm. lovely volunteers out there, they'll come in, we'll do an intake form, we'll talk a lot about past history, injuries. A lot of people forget that they had a fall, or they did this, or this happened. And those are all very important things for me to know, because the body stores that stuff.
That's right.
And then we do a postural assessment in front of a posture grid. I do height assessment, and then we'll go into the myofascial length testing. And then from there, we pick the greatest restriction in the body, wherever I find your greatest restriction. And when you're dealing with the fascial system, we're having to expose the outside sleeve first. So it's kind of like, you know, onesies with the infant. You know, you put them in this big onesie, and that's what our most superficial layer is like. Mm. It's like a onesie.
That's a good analogy.
So if you twist your onesie on your ankle and you step on it, and then you twist your onesie on your wrist, and then you try to raise your arm up, you can even do that with the shirt you're wearing right now and hold down, you know,
that sounds so frustrating
level.
To me.
And you know, so if you twist your material of your shirt and you hold it down on the other end, you're going to feel where you can't, there's a restriction. You can't get up. And that's what our fascial system does if there's a restriction. But our body's so intelligent that it will compensate, and it will move and twist and turn to get that motion to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's when over time, then you're going to see injuries, you're going to see illness, dis-ease in the body.
Because you see other parts of the body doing actions for that part that's constricted.
Absolutely. Mm. So the body mechanics can be completely all off. So we want to make sure we restore the body to a three-dimensional, multidimensional balance. So they have the pelvis balanced to the thorax, and then the legs, and then if that's not balanced, we can't balance the neck and the shoulders and the arms. So that's kind of what the session is. And then the treatment is really up to the individual, what I feel that is going to be the best. So we can do ligament stimulation, and it's very quick and gentle. Everything about tensegrity medicine approach is gentle. We want to input gentle, and we want to input the least amount possible, because then the body is going to know exactly what to do. So if you have a lat, the latissimus is tight, I can do, and nothing else is trumping that, then I'll do a lat ligament release, and then I have people get up and walk backwards, because that's the quickest way to integrate the fascial release. And then I'll retest, and if the lat tests fine after that, then a lot of times we'll just go into dialoguing and maybe some movement retraining and that. It can be cross fiber friction. It can be
that's the type of massage that hurts.
No.
Okay. I'm thinking of something else. There's nothing, one type that's like a
Rolfing.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yes. That can be painful. Uh-huh. No, everything that I do in the clinic is very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Kelly has discovered over her years of studying the fascial system is that our fascial system responds best to the minimal touch.
Mm.
And it's like, that's it. That's all you're going to do.
Right.
You know, we're so used to being like cranked on, and like in the arm world, you know, working with my shoulder or elbow people, I'm like, oh, we're going to get this to release, you know?
And that's right.
And honestly, I now I know I can't treat that shoulder person the same way I ever would have before, because now I have to look, they might be stuck in their ankles, right, in their gastroc muscle, in their calf muscle. So if I let that go, if that's the most restricted, then it's going to let go of the shoulder.
And do you think, so that idea of gentle input, I would think what it's making me think of is kind of this link to our nervous system and the stress part of the nervous system. So for those out there that don't know, the nervous system has these two branches, and one is the fight or flight, I need to run from a tiger branch, which is called the sympathetic, and the other is this rest and digest and calming part, which is the parasympathetic. It makes sense to me that when there's a stressful input, the reaction of the body is contraction. It wants to contract the muscles so it can run from this saber-toothed tiger.
Absolutely.
So if you're trying to get the fascia or any part of the body to relax, that you'd have to engage that calm part of the nervous system to actually get that to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where all these techniques that we have learned in the Tensegrity Medicine Program, it's a combination. And then I, with the Bowen work, Bowen is extraordinarily gentle, and they have three sets of procedures that actually are specifically for taking the body out of a fight flight into the rest and digest mode. And it's stimulating the autonomic nervous system to calm itself down, and then it can look at what the body needs. Our body is so intelligent. It just needs to get the computer switched back on.
That's right.
Sometimes it's been so out of it, and it's been doing all these things that it can't really focus on what it needs to do for itself. So all of this work kind of helps bring the body back so that you can switch that light switch on, and it knows what to do. And then the body takes it from there. It's quite amazing.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing.
And tell me a little bit, the emotional piece is really interesting to me. So the idea of people, you know, with whatever it is, traumas or undigested emotions or difficult things that are in chronic pain, which I see all the time in the clinic. And that's not to say chronic pain is very, very real, but just that idea that when you add to it the emotional body as well, and then that affects the mind and our cognition and our mental body, that all of them become sort of this, you know, they all become intertwined, and they show up in the body. They show up as, I have this left shoulder pain that keeps me up all night, or they show up as I can't walk because of my hip pain. What are you seeing in terms of that, just how the, like how emotions and thoughts manifest in the body, and then sort of that healing piece with this medicine?
It's another level of working with the body that I never thought I would be doing, but it is the most integral piece, to be quite honest. And I'll use myself as a case example here. I've been in this program for a year, and so we meet and we're all working on each other, and we go through the different lines, and I have posters of each of the fascial lines that I'll work on. So the outside is the functional line, and then you go to the front and back superficial line, and with each of these lines that we work with, they all have emotional components. And for me, we weren't sure if it was neurological or not, but my hips were stuck into like a fetal position. And I would have never known that.
Was this after your injury?
Yeah, this is just in this training. This okay. is what I've learned
oh, okay.
about myself.
I see. Recently. Yeah.
Right. And I've done a lot of work, and I've done a lot of emotional work around releasing emotions from some of my injuries and traumas. And they couldn't figure out why my sartorius wasn't releasing. And so I was stuck in this fetal position, and then my biceps were always stuck in this position as well. And we would do the ligament stimulation and other things, and we could get them released for a little while, but they would come back.
Mm.
So why? Well, the answer was dialoguing and finding out what I was holding on to in those specific areas of my body. And so for one session, we were dialoguing, and my colleague was asking me, what do you feel? What do you feel in your hips right now? And I felt like I was being pulled down really hard by a seatbelt. And I felt like just bruising, and I felt like I wanted to be tucked into a ball. And she says, when's the last time you can actually remember that being a physical reality? And I started crying. And I said, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about this in years. But when I was 15, I was in an airplane going into Stapleton Airport in Denver that the landing gear wouldn't come out. So they foamed the runway, and we had a pretty rough landing, and I had bruises across the seat where the seatbelt lied, and we had to be in crash landing position. Everybody survived, but it was it was scary.
Yeah, that's
I thought
like
I was gonna die.
Some people's worst nightmare,
right?
Living out.
And you're, watching them foam the runway and all the and I'm by myself, and so I released that, and she walked me through it. She goes, well, what would you tell yourself now? What would you tell your 15-year-old self? And I would just, I went into, how proud I was of you. You survived. You got back up and you got back on your feet and you flew again. And I have had anxiety with flying ever since. I would usually have to have a Valium to get on an airplane.
Yeah, understandably.
So that release for me happened a couple, 3 months ago. And then my daughters and I took a trip to Europe. And so lots of flying.
Lots of flying, yeah.
I didn't have to take anything. I released that emotional component, and my hips have stayed open since then. So that's just one way that as we dig deeper and, as we release the lines, if there's a line that comes back or if there's a certain segment that comes back tight repeatedly, then I know that there's an emotional component.
And that there's a story there that has to be unlocked and healed.
There's a story there. And it's a beautiful thing that we try to do as tensegrity medicine practitioners is shine a flashlight on that and help the person get there and look at it in a safe environment and talk about it and give little bit of homework around it and just really support that person while they go through that change.
Well, and it sounds like, using the body as an approach to that, a lot of people with really traumatic or just big emotions, it's not right in their consciousness. It's not something that they really want to go to. And even in an office visit, it's not going to, they won't necessarily bring it up, but using the body as this way of kind of this avenue in or this doorway in.
It's amazing.
Yeah, because the body won't lie and the body won't cover it up.
The body does not lie. Mm-hmm. And along with my Bowen work training this past year, I was honored to be able to go to Seattle for a mind-body Bowen course. And Bowen work is based in Australia. And these gals came up and they taught us the mind-body approach. And really, it's putting the first two moves into the low back. And then we allow the body to do its thing. And we have the person feel where are they feeling sensations in their body. And if the doesn't go away, then we have a chart with meridians, and typically we can find exactly where and when the body will pick one trauma in this mind-body Bowen technique. It will pick one trauma that it needs to release. And then we follow the signs of the body, and then we are able to get in there and dialogue about what the body is trying to tell us. Mm-hmm. And when we get the right trauma and we're talking about it, then the symptoms in the person's physical body will dissipate.
Yeah.
And then we know, okay, this is something that you're letting go, we're shining the light, we're sitting with it. If you can sit with something and just know and be, you know, kind to yourself, mm-hmm. and know that it won't hurt you anymore, and that you can, you know, once you look at that, whether it's sadness, fear, anger, whatever it might be, then it has no hold on you anymore. Mm-hmm. And it can be released from those tissues in your body.
This is reminding me, I had a patient a couple of years ago who came in because he was having upper arm and shoulder pain, both arms and shoulders. And, you know, he had been to some other physicians, and the options were physical therapy, steroid injections, pain meds. There was, you know, it was sort of the limited few. And over a time of working with him, we finally figured out that he kept saying, like, I feel like I'm boxing, like it's that kind of a feeling. And then he started a relationship and realized that when he was sleeping, he was actually making fists and like kind of as if he was in a boxing match. And it turned out that he was, while he was sleeping and while he was dreaming, he was thinking about his childhood, and he had just a ton of anger because of some things that happened with his dad growing up. And he was basically like on guard. He was like had that boxing stance to protect himself. And, you know, no amount of pain meds or physical therapy is going to change the reason why his body is trying to protect himself in that way. It does take this holistic approach to figure that piece out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and I would have never guessed that I was holding that stuff,
yeah.
You know,
and
same with my biceps. The reason why they weren't releasing all these times is I finally realized I was holding my anger that doesn't, I'm not an angry person. I don't like to have anger in my body, but I had carried anger since I was a child, you know, and all these different things that I had gone through. And where did I store it? I stored it in my biceps.
Right.
And so being able to look at that anger and say, you know what, honey, you did your best and you had every right to be angry. And
having acceptance for it, right? Thank you for trying to put it in a place that where it wasn't in my consciousness day in and day out. Yeah.
And then once you can look at it and shine that light and just say, it's okay.
Right.
And it's okay if that comes back, you know, on and off in your life.
That's
but
right.
At least it's the first step of acknowledgement.
That's right.
And understanding.
And so for people who want to be able to get in touch with you or want more information about tensegrity, is there some, I know there's a website. Can you share the website and kind of have some info?
If you want to find more about Kelly Clancy and her tensegrity medicine approach, you can go under www.tensegrity, and that's
TENSEGRITY
Medicine Northwest, so NW.com. So Tensegrity Medicine NW.com. And then if you wanted to get a hold of me, I have an email. It's called MerkabaCenter@gmail.com, and that's MERKABA Center@gmail.com. And my phone number for my office is 209-791-3092.
And are you already taking clients?
I'm
or you will be
soon? Volunteer clients. So
that sounds really hard to volunteer for. I'm sure
I
it's
know.
Like pulling.
And my goal, I want to try to open doors in January. And my goal is to continue to have volunteers come in and maybe even invite some of the practitioners, other practitioners in town to come in for a session to see what it is. And I want, because nobody knows what 10th Integrative Medicine is, I'm the first one here on the coast, and there's only 25 of us that are practitioners in mm-hmm. between Seattle, Portland, and here. So
it's good to be a pioneer.
It is. It's great to be a pioneer. And not a lot of people know about bone work either.
Yeah.
And so I'm the first bone work practitioner out here. So I'm excited. Yeah. Volunteer. We can either trade or you can do a donation.
Yeah.
And come check it out and see what it's like. And
sounds great. Yeah. This is exciting.
It is.
I'm excited to check it out.
Good. Yeah, you should come by.
Well, thank you so much for this information. Again, I feel like I could ask you 20 more questions about it, but I think our time is coming to an end. Yes. But thank you for being here, and
absolutely.
Thanks for
thank
sharing with
so
us.
Thank you so much for having me yeah. on, and I'll come back anytime.
Great. You're listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio with my guest, Kendra Bratherton, and we've been talking about 10th Integrative Medicine. A very special thank you to our engineer. And it is my hope that we have enlightened and empowered you to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health this week. Have a great rest of your day.